so much for your presence in this place. God, I ask that for those of us here this evening who are just feeling a sense of down and out. God, I ask that your hope and joy would be reminded or instilled within them. May they see that whatever is going on in their life in this moment is just a season. And it may seem like that season is lasting a little too long. But in the midst of all of it, may you meet them where they are in the midst of this season and know that it's not permanent. That greater things are in store, that there is hope, that there is joy, and may they find it as they are with you. And so, God, we take this time in this moment to just pause for a second and to learn, but not just to learn, but to be transformed into who you have created us to be. And so we take this time to look into your word and to listen and hear what you have to say to each and every one of us. In your name, well said? Amen. I'm just going to talk for a little bit, and by a little bit, an hour and a half, no big deal. The other day, I'm not even close to aware of this until it happens, but it's like subconsciously I do this, that when I do something that is not, if I fumble something or if I hear something that's not very smart that I have said or whatever it is, I take my right hand and I slap my forehead, right? I'm not even aware that I do it half the time, but I do it often. So much so that when my daughter was playing with her toys and she dropped something, she goes, ah, and smacks her forehead. What did you do that for? And I'm like, why would you do that? Ah, and it's like, oh yeah, I do that. Why do I do that? And what I recognized and realized is how much my kids are like sponges. And for those of us who are parents, we know what that's like. But you don't even have to be a parent to know what that's like. You in your own workplace, or with your friends that you hang out with, how often it is that one of those persons who has that contagious laugh, you end up starting to laugh like them, or they start laughing like you, right? We're like sponges. That how we live our lives affects those around us. And you see it in particular when we are parents with our kids, for better or for worse, right? And what I want to look at this evening is in Judges chapter 2. And in Judges chapter 2, we just started a series in Judges. And Judges is really just it's basically an entire book of what not to do. And the beauty of what not to do is that we have people who have lived their lives in ways that maybe not be that very beneficial, but history repeats itself, and we get to learn what not to do and how God responds to people when they do things that are wrong, and how he's merciful, how he's gracious, and at the same time, we get little golden nuggets, so to speak, of maybe we shouldn't live like that, right? And so Judges is kind of that way. And in Judges chapter 2, there's something in particular that the previous generation has done, that the younger generation has seen, and as a result of it, some things have changed. In Judges chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. It says, after Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, and if you're wondering who that is, that's none of your business. Servant of the Lord. Sorry, that was so bad. I don't write these. They just come to me, obviously. he died at the age of 110. Jens, my man. verse 9. Verse 9. That's a good thing. I want you to live a long life. verse 9. They buried him in the land that he had been allocated at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Verse 10. After that generation died, this is what we're getting at here, okay? Another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. So, That part right there. You have a generation that has lived their lives and a younger generation that has learned how to live based upon how they have lived. And as a result of it, they no longer acknowledge the Lord or remember. Now, in Hebrew, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't like comprehend what the Israelites' history is like. That they still do remember the Exodus. They still do remember these things because the traditions still exist. That they still do remember God saving them, but when it comes to not acknowledging in the Hebrew, it just simply means that to them it's no big deal anymore. It's kind of just like the response is, "Nah, I don't really care." And as a result of not really caring, there are these other idols. Baal was the Canaanite god. There was many different kinds of gods. It was these other idols that they decided to worship instead. That they replaced it. That Yahweh was no longer like, it was like, man, that's just like what, nah, we don't really care. But what we do like are these mini gods. These other things that are there within the land. And as a result, God says that that is evil. So where did they go wrong? What happened? Maybe the better question is how does one pass on their faith to the next generation? And for the Jewish people, they had a blueprint, so to speak. They had some things to look at. And that's what I want to look at this evening, is how does one pass on their faith to the next generation in a way in which it is received well, rather than maybe rejected, right? And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it actually talks about how one can pass the baton of faith, so to speak, to the next generation. Now, this is from a Jewish standpoint. These are principles, not promises. And for those of us who have kids that are older and maybe they're not, say, following God or whatever, you don't need to feel shame or guilt in this. It's not, God's the one who saves people. He's the one who brings them in. We do our best to love them, and it's up to him. And so we just say we have to submit our kids to him, right, and be like, come on, God, do your thing. For the love of God, would you answer now? In his timing and his way, he will, right? But what we can learn is how one can live their life knowing that how we are living, other people are seeing it and are receiving it, are like sponges, so to speak, and they can actually encounter God by the way we live our lives, and that's what Deuteronomy 6 begins to portray. So, in light of that, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, begins to show us what it looks like to kind of live our life as a kind of passing of a baton, so to speak, of faith to the next generation, and even those around us. He says this, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today." Does that sound familiar? Have you heard Jesus say that before? It's called the Shema. They have it rolled up in little scrolls and nailed to the sides of doors in Israel today, so that every time they leave the house and enter the house, they're reminding themselves of this very statement, that you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly, it says. Wholeheartedly means our whole being. It means that we saturate ourselves with God. It's like a sunken ship in an ocean, that the sunken ship is surrounded, consumed by the water, that God has consumed you, so God is within all things that we do. Not just some things, but we live our lives where God is first and central in all that we do. That when it comes to living a life of passing on the faith, so to speak, we live our lives wholeheartedly, that everything that we are doing is to serve and glorify God. Everything. Every decision that we make, all that stuff. And what that does is it safeguards us from what? Hypocrisy. What is the number one deterrent of the next generation when it comes to wanting to follow what we believe in is that we don't practice what we believe in. Or we don't practice what we believe in and we don't acknowledge that we are hypocrites. Because we're all hypocrites, let's be real, right? We ain't perfect here. But at least we can acknowledge it. And acknowledging it is what they really want to see. Can we be honest here? Can we be wholehearted? And that's what wholeheartedness looks like, is I'm going to have God consumed in all that I can to the capacity that I can. May not be perfect in it, but we're pursuing God with all that we have, trusting him to do the work through our weakness. That a The unending love of God is moving in and through us, and we are attempting, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to love those around us. And that's what the next generation needs to see, is to see a group of people committing themselves that no matter what we're doing and all that we're doing, we're here to love God and love those around us. And one of the biggest ways of showing the next generation what that looks like is to love our enemies. They need to see it. Show me what it looks like, right? So, wholeheartedly, we love God wholeheartedly with our whole selves. He goes on and says this in verse 7. It says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you go to bed, and when you're getting up. In other words, when it comes to living a life with God and passing on the baton, so to speak, we do it in all aspects of our lives and everything. It doesn't mean that we sit our kids down. It doesn't mean you sit someone down and you start leading them through a Bible study. They probably won't like that because they're not, maybe they don't even want that. But when we read that, we're like, okay, when you wake up, we got to do this. When you go to bed, you got to do this. When you do this, it's like, no, he's just saying in all that you do, whatever you're doing. And honestly, you don't need to necessarily say anything because they're paying attention to how you are living. It's what we call hidden curriculum. It's how my daughter learned to slap her forehead. I didn't sit her down and be like, okay, here's what you do when you get frustrated. Take your right hand and smack the middle of your forehead like that. She's like, got it. No, that's not how it happened. She just watches how I live. And that's frightening and really good when I love my wife, when I show affection to my kids, when my daughter messes up and I show her grace, when I mess up and I ask for forgiveness, when I'm honest about my faults to her, all of this is showing her in everyday life, and whether we're waking up or we're going on the road or whatever it is, there's always moments for her to see, or other people in your workplace to see, or in your neighborhood to see, or even within here to see the hidden curriculum that is going on. So pursue God wholeheartedly in all aspects. And everything that we're doing, let's serve and honor God and recognize the hidden curriculum that exists, that the way we live our lives is saying something about who we believe in. And people are seeing it and receiving it. And when it comes to the next generation, basically what they're saying is, show me. And we do, and we are. And so we keep pushing forward in that. And then if you jump down in chapter 6, all the way to verse 20, he begins to say some more things about this. And this is the last part. He says this, in the future, your children will ask, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. I'm not going to read the rest of it because that's just the main point right there. We were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. Now, what he is saying here is essentially saying, invite them into your personal spiritual journey. Tell them about how God rescued you. Invite them into your personal struggle. Invite them into how God became a reality in your life, how he has rescued you. So not only do you pursue God wholeheartedly, not only are you recognizing that the way I live my life says something to other people around me, but we're also recognizing that, hey, let's be personal. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. Show our faults. Show our mishaps. Remind others or tell others about how God has come into your life, or about how you struggle with the reality of God, or about how you doubt God, or about how you're like, you know what? I don't really know, but I've had this experience and it's rattled me and I'm trying to make sense of it all. And that's where I'm at on my spiritual journey. The next generation needs to hear that. They need to see what faith looks like in their context, in their setting, and they can see it more clearly when we are honest to share about ours and how ours works within the context of our cultural setting. Be real, be honest, and watch as we pursue those routes. And when it comes to handing the baton, we don't even necessarily have to physically hand it. We'll just see the next generation going, I want to be a part of something like that is honest, that is filled and saturated with love. I mean, that's ultimately what everyone wants, right? All we need is love. Love. Love is all we need, right? That's what we need. I'm not going to sing it because that's not my deal. But if you were to look at that and, okay, cool, man, that makes sense. But what is love? God is. All we need is God. God. All we need is God. And what is God? God is love, right? So when we saturate ourselves in God, love begins to penetrate within our hearts and we begin to love those around us so that we are not just preaching it, so to speak, that we are practicing what we preach, and what we're preaching is not necessarily words, it's our actions, because actions speak louder than words. Hello. Right? So preach it. Preach it often. Preach it all the time. And when it's necessary, you can use some words. Show the people what love looks like and watch as more generations to come will be embraced by the love of God, by the way we choose to love them as well. Amen? Let's go back into worship. It's going to be more worship, more extended time of worship, and then we've got some sweet stuff later, okay? Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your word and how you show us, not necessarily like it's got to be like this, but you give us like signposts, you give us directives, you give us a game plan, principles and things in which we can embrace. And so as we look at things like Judges chapter 2, and we see an entire generation just kind of say, well, we don't really personally or relationally care about you. And then we kind of self-examine and look at our future generations, and rather than being filled with shame or worry, none of that does any good anyways. May we recognize what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. That when we commit our lives wholeheartedly to you and love you, then that is an incredible testimony. That is an incredible statement to those who are in the next generation. So may we, as adults, may we as people say yes to you. And may you empower us to love as you have loved us to others. And as a result, may that ripple effect of your love move on from next generation to next generation to next generation. We love you, God, so much. And I just want to say one last thing, God, for the people in this room whose kids aren't following you, or at least to what we may perceive them to be, in their actions and decisions may not be the greatest right now. May you remind them that although they are their parents, that you are in control and you are madly in love with their kids. Give the parents who feel that weight a reminder that it's okay. That you got them, you're pursuing them, and you love them. May they have peace to know that you are good. And as much as their parents' hearts desire for their kids to follow you, you have a greater heart for them. And you're already on the pursuit. And as far as we know, it's already finished. You got them. We love you, Jesus. We take this time to continue to worship you. Amen.